Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure.
The heavens, no man, no weapon formed against. Yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisited us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walked through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots, we on the ground. The camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day.
Good morning. Welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. It's a Friday. The people, them tired of working. Ba-dum, ba-dum. I don't know what it is that you do at 11 o'clock, but whatever it is that you do, I am happy that you have decided to do that do and that you decided to do that do with me. You know my voice already. It's Levin Miller. Thank you so much for joining me. Now, it has been a great big hoo-ha, if you will, that people have somehow gotten themselves all worked up about. Even a couple of my friends here in media, some of my friends in broadcasting, a couple of my friends that are journalists, they are all screaming Voldemort, right, at the fact that the now press secretary in the office of the prime minister has laid down a set of rules, right? And Bahamians, we like to push back, sometimes in my estimation, without exactly understanding what or why or how the thing will even work, right? And I've read the new guidelines by the office of the prime minister. Let me say that I am not outrightly opposed. Like, I don't know if I actually want ministers of the government when they go to these fundraising events. You know, it is not unusual for a minister to be at a party at Government House shaking his tail feather only to try to stagger to his car. Luckily, he has a driver. To be tripped down by a journalist or by somebody that he doesn't deem as a threat to his image and brand, asking him a question that he, I don't know, is in the right sense of sobriety to even comment on at this time, right? And so I had always kind of been opposed to there being interviews with ministers. This is Levin Miller now. I had always been opposed to there being interviews with ministers in those kinds of settings, right? And I saw Anthony Newbold come to the office of press officer, and I said to myself, Ace is a serious dude. I don't think they're going to be able to get around Ace. He's going to run a good buffer. But of course, we ended up with a cabinet that liked talking to the media, any member of them. Dwayne Sands was in there, and you're never going to outrun him with a mic. Neither will you do it to Marvin Daines, where if you give them a mic, they're going to say something. I guess that became quite difficult for one press officer to manage. But that is kind of the culture that is the Bahamian political aspirant and political office holder. They love the news. They absolutely love the news. Somehow, once you ascend to cabinet, you want your face on the newspaper. You want your voice on the radio. I don't know. Maybe their friends call them and tell them how titillating they sound. I'm not sure what exactly their fascination is. But I do know that many of them do not have skill or training or experience in the art form that is communication. Needless to say, that is why you hire people like the Clint Watsons, like the Anthony Newbolds, to kind of help you through your ability to communicate. We see any number of blunders. And if you listen to my show earlier this week, you would see where I kind of chided the commissioner of police for what I deem absolutely reprehensible communication. The man just is terrible at it. But he's not alone. There are so many other people in prominent positions in the country that do not communicate well. Now, I've heard the press officer's position, which is they wanted to create greater inclusion and greater access. I hear that. I don't know if exactly that is a position I buy, but I hear the position. And then, because for me, the question would become, well, who didn't have access, right? And so hopefully we get some answers to that. I hear him say that they're trying to make it more fair. And okay, I hear that. But in instances like those, I ask the question, well, who complained that they didn't feel treated fairly? I mean, where did the problem, who was the virtual complaining? And since nobody has complained that I am aware of, then I have to ask the press officer, well, how did you come to the conclusion that somebody felt disenfranchised? And so because I had a litany of questions, one bunch of things that I wanted to ask, I decided that I would call the press officer in the office of the prime minister. He joins me on the hard line this morning. Clint Watson, good morning.
Good morning, Devon. Always a pleasure to talk to the media. And hey, I'm excited talking to you on your platform.
Absolutely.
And the other way around, you coming on my platform talking. This is indeed exciting.
Listen, and you know, I'm kind of happy we're doing it. I'm disappointed we're doing it on the hard line. You know, I had them roll out a whole red carpet all the way from the studio to the parking lot. There were some ladies out there dressed in Touch Palm, Androsia.
Oh, man, my apologies.
Sprinkled roses, and we brewed coffee and everything, but you know. I know life in the office of the prime minister must
exactly.
be busy.
Some meetings came up that we didn't expect to and had me stationed here.
Okay. So you've heard some of my concerns. I am not exactly sure what are the concerns that you've answered so far. But my concerns are, you said that you kind of did the protocols, you did the guidelines. What exactly was the intention of the office of the prime minister when these protocols were established?
Sure, and you said it already, and that is simply to create greater access for the media. Mm-hmm. If you understand Mr. Davis and the Davis administration, even before government, he was very accessible by the media. He wanted to continue that. He wanted to provide opportunities for media to be able to get questions answered, be able to understand what's happening in governance. It wasn't in place to that level before, and so we decided to create something to provide exactly what he wanted to. That was the first thing. The second thing was, when I was on my talk show before coming to government, one of the things I often complained about was not being able to have access to the prime minister for crucial interviews, or even sometimes getting access to cabinet ministers to be able to interview them and talk to them and so forth. Mm-hmm. But that was one thing I wanted to make sure was the first thing I addressed to ensure that my colleagues don't have to go through that at all.
Okay.
And that's what these new guidelines and opportunities speak to, being able to get in touch with government without having to run somebody down or play phone tag with them, mm-hmm. being able to get them for stories, being able to book them for interviews, and being able to have regular briefings so that you have access to information from government. Mm-hmm. That is what these guidelines speak to.
Now, let me ask you, said that there was a need for greater access. Was that a complaint among people in the business of media and journalism? Like, what journalists...
I'm glad you asked. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm glad you asked that. Because oftentimes when we think of media, we think of the traditional media companies in the Bahamas, the mm-hmm. newspapers, the TV news stations, the radio news stations. And what we forget is that we are an archipelago of islands.
Mm-hmm.
And we have so many media houses who have now been created that are on family islands. A lot of the major family islands have their own media that caters directly to the island. But what happens is because they're on the island, they don't have a connection to central government here in the capital.
Okay.
So if they wanted to get an interview with a government official or the prime minister, or they wanted to get an answer, let's say, to a bridge project that was going on or some road work, they didn't know, who do I reach out to? Mm-hmm. How do I get in touch with the minister or perhaps the prime minister and something they didn't have access before? They didn't know who was the point person before. Mm-hmm. Now we're creating a direct access for them. We're letting them know who the point person is You call us, we arrange it for you, we'll get the answers for you, so you no longer have to feel out there in the deep by yourself and have to get secondhand information. What I mean is you report what another media house has reported based on their interview, rather than you being able to have your own interview. Mm-hmm. So we want to kind of change that. What you've seen happen before on rare occasions is, for example, when they had the health pressers during the earlier weeks of the pandemic, you would see they allowed media houses that you'd hear from the family island would have reported come on, but it was only for that briefing. We want to make sure that that's open to them on a regular basis so that they can do their jobs in communicating their residents and their islands who have every right to have the same information as those here in the capital.
Mm-hmm. So, we've created greater access for family islanders. That is, we've created greater access for smaller media outlets. I'm assuming the Prime Minister is interested in entertaining podcasts or something to that effect. That's what it sounds like to me. Because if we're talking about media platforms outside of conventional media, I know YouTube channeling and that kind of stuff is big stuff these days. But what do you say to the people then that says, well, it sounds like Clint wants to be the press officer for the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. He doesn't sound like he wants to be the press officer in the office of the Prime Minister. Does he understand what is a press officer in the office of the Prime Minister? What do you say to those people?
Great. I'm happy to tell them. Because while you're saying that, I'm pulling up the job description that was handed to me, and I'll read it so that people understand my job description. Because and you said it quite correctly. A lot of people say, okay, he's the press secretary in the office of the Prime Minister. What does that mean? Okay, so here's my job description that was handed to me, right? Mm-hmm. Your duties will consist of the following. Spokesman for the Prime Minister and the government. Mm-hmm. Coordinating with ministries and the Office of the Prime Minister on responses, official responses, positions of various events, situations in the government, covering proposed meetings with the Prime Minister at various figures of importance, assisting with organizing the Prime Minister's proposed scheduling, advancing, coordinating the Prime Minister's schedule for press conferences, national addresses, radio interviews, television, coordinating activities of BIS and ZNS under the direction of the Prime Minister, ensuring that the government receives coverage via traditional and non-traditional media, inclusive of social media, performing any other related duties as mandated by the Honorable Prime Minister. So that's, in a nutshell, my job description that was handed to me. And so what that tells me is, and these are things that have been established before, gazetted before, and of course, the press secretary in the office of the Prime Minister doesn't just function as the press secretary in the office of the Prime Minister. He functions as the spokesperson for the government. And so what that means for me is creating portals and opportunities that people who need responses from the government can get that in a timely manner and get the information. And you don't necessarily have to get a minister or the Prime Minister. If you can reach me, I can get the information to you, which makes it easier for journalists who just need access to the information. And sometimes reaching a cabinet minister or Prime Minister may be difficult, but you should be able to always reach the press secretary within a reasonable time, who can still get the information, who is authorized to speak on behalf of the government, so that you're able to complete your stories, get your interviews, do your shows, in a fashion and in a manner that you have access to somebody who's been authorized to speak on behalf of the government.
Now, among your criteria for those people wishing to be a part of the press corps, I'm assuming surrounding the office of the Prime Minister, I noticed that there was some chatter about the dress code or a dress standard for reporters wishing to have interviews. I also noticed that you had alluded to the fact that you wanted, I think your words were, senior journalists to kind of be a part of that press corps. When we, I think, all can agree that during particularly the outbreak of the pandemic, we must commend people like young Jasper Ward, who you have to admit, for all intents and purposes, was quite tenacious in her reporting of the news and double-checking of the facts. You would remember that it was Jasper Ward that kind of caused the whole debacle surrounding, you know, the Duane Sands resignation and how many people came off the... And so she's not a cub anymore, but I wouldn't... When I think about senior journalists, or even in your former incarnation, I think about some of the younger reporters there, and I don't know. Do you think it was a right step for the press officer in the office of the prime minister, having a 20-year background in media, understanding that sometimes the tenacity that you look for in a reporter comes from your younger reporters? Do you think it may have been, you know, just wrongly understood that you wanted more senior journalists? And if you are going to get the Jasper Wards and those kinds of persons, the younger people don't subscribe to our norms of what is appropriate dress. You know, they live in a different world. And so you're not going to get the suit and the tie from them ordinarily. Do you think that maybe it was a bit of a heavy-handed approach from your office?
No, I don't. And I'll explain to you why, right? Because what you just spoke about was a suggestion, not a requirement.
Okay.
It says we suggest that you assign to these beats your senior journalist.
Mm-hmm.
Now, your senior journalist is relative to your organization.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's no definition of a national senior journalist. It just means we're saying in your newsroom, when you send somebody to these assignments, we just prefer that you send somebody who understands government, who understands the issues facing government,
mm-hmm.
And who relatively your senior reporter is. And while people may argue about that, let's face reality. We need to be real with ourselves. We do it all the time when we're filling out forms for an NBC training or some accreditation for some event. We don't send rookie people to those events. We send people we believe can handle the assignment,
mm-hmm.
right? And so all that is suggesting to people is find who can handle the assignment.
Mm-hmm.
Find who can handle the assignment. And when you find who can handle the assignment, we more than happy to welcome them. But what we also suggest to you is do not send people who at the end of the day won't understand. Because what I've seen, and I'll give you a good example,
mm-hmm.
a news house sent someone to an assignment, and they obviously were given the question as to what they should do, and what they should ask. And they asked the question, and the question was put back to them by an official on what they asked, and they couldn't explain it because they didn't know.
Mm.
Obviously, they were given the one question, but not the history behind it.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't make the organization look good. It made, at the end of the day, the institution look bad. But it also was embarrassing to the press corps.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we suggested to media houses, when you're sending somebody, send somebody who's competent enough who can do this level. Now, it by no means puts a stipulation of who you send.
Mm-hmm.
It is still up to the media house to decide who they will send. These, like I said, are guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, while the mainstream media houses may have it together and say, listen, I'm insulted by that, I also tell people, if it's not for you, move beyond it. But if we're now giving access to newer media houses who perhaps didn't have access to government before, they ask for guidelines to help them in making decisions. So it may not be for mainstream media houses who are familiar with doing this every day.
Mm-hmm.
It may mean for the new media house who we're now including in the press corps or giving access to, they have asked for guidelines. Because they want to get it right, and they want to do it right.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's not for you, ignore it.
What about the dress code?
Who needs it?
What about the dress code, Clint? Because I mean, it is not unusual.
Mm-hmm.
It is not unusual for photographers, journalists, to some of them, you know, they have a what I would deem a rutty appearance. It doesn't make them any more brilliant, any less brilliant. Some of the most magnificent work you see or read or you see in picture form necessarily, you know, it doesn't mean that the guy has to be John Bull in his appearance. Sometimes these are just ruddy people, right?
Yeah.
But their work is immaculate. Do you think maybe...
And let me make this clear, Levon. Mm-hmm. They won't be turned away. Remember, a guideline is... Listen, and I think we read too much into things. A guideline, think about it, when you travel,
mm-hmm.
and you go to events, and you're wondering, well, you know, is there a dress code?
Mm-hmm.
Is there something I can follow by?
Mm-hmm.
A guideline is something that can assist you in having the information that you need of surrounding an event. It doesn't mean you must follow it unless the guideline says this must be followed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we look to pick at any and everything rather than saying, okay, you know, I'm quite satisfied with how I dress. I'm quite satisfied how my reporters go out, so that don't mean me.
Mm-hmm.
And you continue as normal. Why we pick on every single thing as if it's an issue? We put those guides, again, I stress it again, those guidelines are important for new media that we're going to engage who would like to know. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have the guideline there, they say, well, no one told me. So mm-hmm. we put it there as a guideline. Doesn't mean that somebody's going to stand there and say, oh, you're breaking rule number four. You're not dressed appropriately. Please leave. They're not going to do that. By all means, we're not. But it helps that journalist who may be entering some place where a minister is trying to get an interview with, and people trying to stop you because of how they consider who the person is. They don't know who the media houses are. They don't know who the reporters are. I've seen reporters catch a lot of unnecessary flack because of how they look in dressing and trying to enter a place where people perhaps may be dressed differently, trying to get an interview. They're the ones who are stopped by either the event or the event security because people are judging them by what they see. So that's why we put a guideline there and say, make sure, you know, it's important to be appropriately dressed. We change it to say to the word appropriately. Mm-hmm. So you can determine whatever appropriate is for you. But at the end of the day, if you're coming to ask the interview, we're not going to stop you because you, oh, look how you look. No, of course not. Mm. But at the end of the day, people would like, there are some media houses that want that kind of information so that they have some guideline for their media house and for their reporters and for people who are going out on their behalf and say, listen, this is important. Mm. You get it every time you go to government house. There is a standard when you go to government house. We don't complain about that. Mm. And so what we're saying is, listen, if you're going to interview the prime minister or going to interview a minister on an assignment, that's what we're talking about, on an assignment, it's important to be dressed appropriately. Mm. Now, that's not to insult anybody. That's not to say we're going to turn you away if you're not. It's a guideline.
Mm. So to the people that say that because shortly after the guidelines came out, there was a little bit of, like I said again earlier, a bit of a hoo-ha by the Bahamian people. And, you know, I realize that a lot of times we take populist position, which means if enough people row about it, we rowing about it, right?
Right.
And then I noticed that there was a statement issued from your office that that kind of sounded a bit repentant. I don't know whether you were leaning towards contrition. I'm not sure whether or not you wanted to lean toward understanding. But you came out and you felt the need to basically remind people of who Clint Watson was, right? And these are your words. As a member of the Florida State for more than 20 years, I'm fully aware of the challenges and obstacles that my colleagues in the media have traditionally faced in obtaining access to government leaders and essential information. Indeed, one of the main reasons I took this job of press secretary for this new administration was because I thought I could contribute significantly to professionalizing how the media interacts with elected officials in our country. Earlier this week, I drafted new guidelines to form the basis of a discussion with members of the media and invited news leaders who regularly cover government to attend a Zoom meeting so they could provide feedback. The meeting was held yesterday and was collaborative and productive. So it kind of sounded like, you know, I want to make sure I'm not mashing, you know, too many fingers. I don't know. Well, is this a new day with the press secretary? Is the press secretary setting up a new standard? Because I don't have a difficulty with you setting your laws for your house. I have no problems with that. But you said that in one release, and then you come out in another release, and you sound a bit contrite to me. You sound like, Manuel, please don't kill me. This Clint, I mean all these things, you know. And it's a mixed message to me.
Let me tell you why. And I don't believe it's a mixed message. Mm-hmm. Here's what the press release spoke to. Mm-hmm. The press release spoke to, and this is why I did the press release, mm-hmm. because I saw agendas and misinformation on social media.
Okay.
Right? And here's what the agendas tried to paint a picture of. Oh, all of a sudden, when he was media, he was fighting for the media. Now, all of a sudden, he's government. All of a sudden, now he won't protect government from the media. Mm-hmm. How shameful of him. Mm-hmm. Oh, all of a sudden, now he will jump in this job and make it difficult for media to have access. Because the majority of people who were arguing online saw it as guidelines to restrict mm-hmm. rather than give further access. Because those who are perpetrating the agenda gave that impression. Mm-hmm. I am happy to say that none of the persons who are online doing that Zoom call from media houses who all gave their support criticized or went online and objected. Mm-hmm. They all agreed. And I wanted to give also the notion that but the overwhelming majority of media houses in this country have stood behind this and have supported it. The noise was coming louder from those who opposed than it was from those who did.
Okay.
Now, why was that press release written with that tone? The press release was written that tone to explain to people that Clint Watson has not changed.
Mm-hmm.
I came to this job being who I am and what I am, and I've come to do exactly what I said I was doing before I came to this job,
mm-hmm.
and that is to ensure that media is respected, that media has greater access. Those are what we're trying to achieve. The message that's trying to go out ahead of my message is, no, he's trying to restrict, and that is absolutely not the case.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that, a good example. I've said before, reporters have had to camp out on cabinet steps on Tuesday morning trying to get interviews with cabinet ministers.
Mm-hmm.
I want to put more dignity to that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe reporters should have to do that. I believe reporters should be able to show up to a cabinet briefing, set up with their crews, wait comfortably, and have ministers come in, and they're questioning them in an indoor environment rather than outside on the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first thing I did was remove that. And I gave reporters dignity by having a press briefing for cabinet and bringing the ministers to the press briefing to answer their questions. Now, that doesn't restrict. That gives greater access and also gives them comfort.
Mm-hmm.
But one would hear, oh, you have to be accredited to come to these briefings. Well, accredited simply means you're assigning somebody in an event to go to cabinet. If you're assigning somebody to go to cabinet, just assign them to come to the press briefing.
Right.
It's not restricting anyone. It's creating the access for people. But if you don't explain that, people will see somebody's comment and say, oh, they now have a cabinet briefing and you have to be accredited for it, and think that you're trying to restrict, not recognizing that you're giving more dignity and convenience to the press rather than standing up outside, or who knows what the elements could be of weather.
Mm-hmm.
You now have a facility that you can sit and interview cabinet ministers and get a little more with what's on the agenda of cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
That's giving greater access.
Mm-hmm.
And so the press release was not to go and attack anybody or to go and respond or criticize anybody. It was simply to share my heart, my vision, and what it is that we want to do to ensure that the press can feel good about what we are progressing to as a nation, and hopefully even get more as we move in the future. That was I know my battles. I know how to choose battles.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to take anybody on about something that I believe is good. And that's why the press, that the tone of that release was just that. But it wasn't to be combative. Neither was it to attack anybody. It's simply to explain what it is we're trying to do. And I believe when you share your vision and you share people from your heart what it is you're trying to achieve, rationally, they understand.
Mm.
And it doesn't become a battle. It becomes clarity. And that's what we're aiming to do.
Now, Clint, I'm a religious boy. So every now and again, I lean, you know, to my religious underpinning, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a scripture somewhere in the Bible that says, for no man can serve two masters. He will either love the one and hate the other, or hate
mm-hmm.
the one and love the other. And it sounds to me as though you care so much about the press corps that I don't know. Is this in any way going to offend the office of the prime minister? I mean, can you be this beholding and benevolent and, in your words, wanting to create greater access to the media in the way that you are considering? Can you say that I am as press secretary, in the office of the prime minister, trying to ensure that I make something more dignified for reporters? I want reporters to have a wonderful little sitting area where they can go and enjoy crumpets and tea while they wait with legs crossed. Can you serve the media houses and their reporters at this level and still effectively be, in the instances that you will have to be at some point or the other, a buffer for the prime minister? Because ultimately, that is what press officers do. We've seen it with the Donald Trump administration. We've seen it with any government that has had a bout of low popularity. We saw it with Governor Cuomo, who at one point had somebody come out and speak for him and then decided, I don't want this dude to talk for me no more. I coming out to speak for myself. Because he needed buffering. Can you, in the times when the prime minister requires buffering, cabinet ministers require buffering, because that time will come, can you then say that you do not love one master more than the other? Are you shackled to your college of journalists and media personalities?
Okay, good point. It's not serving two masters. What I'm doing is required in my job. It's required. It's not trying to, let me do this for the press and then skip back over here and now be the buffer of a government. Mm-hmm. My job requires me to interact with the press. Mm-hmm. It requires me to accommodate the press. Mm-hmm. And so in doing that, I've taken on the task of finding a better way to accommodate them mm-hmm. rather than the way they've been accommodated before. So that's what you see happening here. That's what I'm required to do. I am mandated to interact with the press. Mm-hmm. I am mandated to work with the press. I am mandated to provide access for the press and information to the press. This is a part of my job. Mm-hmm. What I'm trying to do is do it in a way that makes it comfortable for the people that I'm required to serve. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, like you said, there will be times of contention. That will happen. There will be times where it gets difficult. And that's why I believe in forming a good relationship now with people, because no relationship goes without being tested or contention. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, what causes the relationship to remain is because there was a solid foundation that was laid. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm doing here, laying a solid foundation where there's mutual respect. Mm-hmm. Not this, we're the government, you're the press, you do what we say. No, but we're the government, you're the press, we want to respect you and accommodate you the best way we can. It doesn't mean that you will always be accommodated. No. But that's why you build a solid relationship and you have a good foundation. When those times of contention come, there's mutual respect. Mm-hmm. And that's all I believe that we ought to ensure exists at all times, is respect for each other's thoughts. I respect the media for what it is they have to do, and likewise, I hope they will respect the government and me and what it is that I have to do here. Mm-hmm. And if there's mutual respect, there will always be a solid foundation of good relationships, even in contentious times.
You ended that communication by saying, we believe these new ways of operating represent an upgrade for all involved and will bring the Bahamas in compliance with best practices regionally and globally. As noted, the meeting held yesterday with members of the media to discuss these matters were collegiate and constructive. Journalists who attended made helpful suggestions, and their feedback will be reflected in the final guidelines. It is unfortunate that some members of the media who did not attend the meeting have taken to social media to voice their objections. Had they attended the meeting, they would have had the benefit of participating in and contributing to the discussion. This would have been a more productive approach, we believe, than leaking a draft document and manufacturing a controversy. A free press is essential for democracy and national growth. While change sometimes fosters apprehensions, we are confident that the press, the government, and the public will all benefit from greater professionalism in government-media relations. And that leads me to the question, how is what is happening now in the office of the Prime Minister different from anywhere else in the world? I mean, if you watch MSNBC, if you watch CNN, or whichever news station you are familiar with, if you like European news, so you watch BBC, you watch as the President of the United States of America comes out on the East Lawn, which is typically where he boards the helicopter, the press corps is kind of roped off behind a little red line. If you watch him when he is making his appearances at the press briefings at the White House, you know, they're all in a room waiting on the president to come. The press secretary is kind of there, gives you the rundown on what all the president is coming to talk about. And then the press secretary kind of leaves, the president shows up. If you watch British news, you will see the same thing. The prime minister leaves his residence or her residence, whoever it is at the time. The press corps is kind of roped off in an area that they have allotted for the press. What would happen is the prime minister kind of walks up to the rope, has a conversation with the press if something is that pressing in the media, et cetera, et cetera. This practice of the media being able to just walk up to our members elected of parliament and our prime minister, is that unusual? Is that really the way it is done? And were we not doing it right all along? Are you trying to correct a wrong? Or is what we see in the international press stations, is that what you're trying to get to? Explain to me, where is the end result?
Okay, a little bit of both, right? And here's the first thing that I think people ought to understand, right? And I think you said it at the beginning. Do we run out of our office of the prime minister now? Is it run like all the other ones are run? Was it different? And I'll tell you, our restrictions, our security and restrictions in the Bahamas are much more lax than it is in other countries around the world. Mm-hmm. And that's no insult to national security or anything. I'm just saying, when it comes to access of access and proximity of our national leaders, we are way more relaxed than other countries.
Mm-hmm.
I have traveled extensively as a reporter and journalist, and I have to be accredited every time. And I can tell you what the access is like in the Caribbean. I can tell you what the access is like in the Americas.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you what the access is like in other parts of the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
In North America and other parts of the world. Let's start with the Caribbean. Caribbean, very difficult to access their prime ministers, presidents, or cabinet ministers. Very difficult. Mm-hmm. Everything is done by appointment. Everything, and when it's done, there's still a lot of restrictions of our security access to them at events.
Mm-hmm.
In the North America, we can tell by U.S. Same thing. The average media person cannot even get an interview with the president or secretaries. We call our cabinet ministers, they call them secretaries in the U.S. You just can't, right? And the only people who can access presidents or secretaries are the media who have been accredited by their media companies assigned to those particular beats.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't just get as a journalist say, I won't get an interview at the White House. No, you have to. That's a position that you are promoted to
mm-hmm.
as a White House correspondent.
Mm-hmm.
And only the White House press pool have access to the White House.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the reality of it, right? When he goes anywhere, only the White House press is allowed access to the president. Even when he goes to another country, the reporters from that country can't even get access to the president.
Mm-hmm.
Only the White House press corps, you see, move with him. I've traveled when the president of the U.S. has traveled to the Caribbean country, and we were part of the Caribbean press pool. We couldn't even get access to the U.S. president.
Mm-hmm.
Only the White House press corps had access to him. And we were angry because they left the space always closer to him for the White House press corps, and all the other press from the Caribbean were way far away.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't even complain about that.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is accredited. You can't just show up with a company ID and say, I work for so-and-so, I want to be to this event. They don't happen. You have to be accredited. And guess what? When they feel they reach their mark, they cut your accreditation off or they determine whether or not you can be accredited or not.
Mm-hmm.
That's how a lot of these countries operate on a regular basis. We don't do that in the Bahamas. A lot of people say, well, you can understand our culture ain't like that. I get that. And we're not trying to do that. We're not even going to that level. What we are trying to do, though, is put something in place that's befitting of the office, because at the end of the day, we don't want to wait until something happens.
Mm-hmm.
We have to put regulations in place. That's the problem in our country. We wait till something happens, and then suddenly change it, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of the things, when I talk about security risk, is interviewing a cabinet minister on Bay Street,
mm-hmm.
on Bay Street sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what could happen.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't wait until something happens to say, oh, this was a bad idea.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so that's why we're putting things in place to ensure the safety and security of all. Anybody that pushes against that, really, I question your motive in doing what it is we're doing as a country. Because we know the Bahamas today is not what the Bahamas was years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's changing. And because it's changing, we have to be careful that we don't sit back and say, oh, they're taking away our freedoms. You're not taking away your freedoms. It's now moving with the times because times have changed.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know who's in our country, who comes to visit. We don't know who our people are. People change. And you have to ensure protection of the press corps. Because if a press is covering a government official at an event or something happens, the government is responsible.
Yeah.
So we have to put in place. For example, we're now creating the office of the prime minister press briefing, like you see in the White House,
mm-hmm.
where the White House press secretary briefs reporters on what's happening in government, what's going on, and so forth. We're now doing that. We're completing a very modern and new press briefing room right here on the floor in the office of the prime minister.
Mm-hmm.
So when we begin our press briefing, you coming to the office of the prime minister, do you expect as a reporter just be able to walk in and tell the security and the defense force office downstairs, I made a press briefing and walk past? It doesn't happen. And that's why we put our accreditation in. So when our media does come, they have a certain accreditation badge,
mm-hmm.
and the officers automatically know that you're here for the press briefing. We can give you access.
Mm-hmm. So
if you're complaining about accreditation,
mm-hmm.
then you got to go through a whole scrutiny downstairs, which takes time.
Yeah, I got to go to a break, Clint. Hold the line for me. Don't go anywhere. If you're just tuning in, I've got Clint Watson. He is the press secretary in the office of the prime minister. I have him on the hard line. I don't want y'all to say that I'm buffering him. So when we get back, the phone lines are open and he's all yours. 323-6232-325-4316. 325-4259. You can call me on any one of those numbers. You can text me on 422-4796 when I get back.
Here we go. J.S. Johnson Insurance agents are the best. Reliable service, we've been on the scene, protecting since 1919.
Hey, did you find the show interesting? Do you want to be a part of the conversation? Well, sponsor Unleashed today. Call 302-2304 or 302-2375 to see which package is right for you. Join Layvon Miller as he ignites the passion of the next generation by bridging the gap with engaging conversations and innovative ideas. Take action and sponsor Unleashed today at 302-2304 or 302-2375 and be unleashed.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back. Let's go straight to the phone lines. 323-6232-325-4316. 325-4259. I have the press secretary in the office of the prime minister on the line with me, Clint Watson. Clint Watson, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Perfect. Now, can I ask you this question, though? People say you all are taking the threats to the office of the prime minister seriously. We're making these adjustments. You say they're only suggestions and, you know, we didn't, you know, we're not trying to obstruct anybody's ability to get into the press, get into the prime minister, et cetera, et cetera. People will say, you know, Mr. Davis is not the leader of the free world. The kind of threats that are on his life are not equivalent to that of people that lead the free world. He is prime minister, sure. There is a level of security, sure. But, I mean, maybe Clint's taking it too far. What do you say to those people?
What I say to those people who say that is this, right? One, anyone who thinks that tightened security on the national leader is not necessary is not living in the 21st century. Mm. It is. If you look in the Blaze paper, you saw a British parliamentarian was murdered in his apartment. Mm. That just speaks to the world we live in. And we shouldn't wait for there to be a threat to have security in place. Mm. It ought to be in place. And I think at this level, the security we're putting in place is not tightening security. It's just simply putting in place a measure. Mm. Here's what the accreditation does. Accreditation is really given to the media house. For example, they'll get two accreditation cards. Mm-hmm. So that whoever they send to an assignment, they have the accreditation badge to use. And when they go back, they give it back to their editor. And whoever is assigned to the next one can take the accreditation badge. And it's assigned to the media house. So it's not really a stringent one where only those who are accredited can show up to the press conference. Mm. Not at all. Media houses will be able to determine going forward what they can do. We started out saying, okay, we'll accreditate you only certain people. Then we understood that media houses are challenged with staff. They may have a certain amount of people. And so what we've now decided to do is open it up. So that once people have all sent in accreditation, then whoever you choose to send on an assignment, they'll come with the accreditation badge and they'll use it and they'll take it back and give it to you, give it to their editor, and then whoever returns. So it's not a stringent accreditation method. It's just beginning the process.
The phone's lighting up, Clint. I want to let these people talk to you. So let's take a couple of these calls. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Hello, good morning.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks, Levon, and good morning to your guest, Clint Watson, also. This is Toby from Paradise Island Lighthouse and Beach Club. How are you both doing today?
I'm good, Toby.
Excellent. I think it's really good and support Clint and what he's doing is trying to, I believe, is bring order to the process. And I think that when we've had a tyrant in the past, which has shied away from the press, and now here it is that you've got a prime minister that I don't feel shies away from the press and is accessible, so we should embrace what Flint's trying to do from the perspective of bringing order to it, so that it's organized. It's like having a big rush of people trying to get into a building as opposed to saying, let's implement a line. And then get the market stakeholders that are involved in journalism and the press corps and whatnot to say, well, maybe we need to provide some shade, or maybe we need to provide, you know, seating. It's an organization process. So I think somebody in a country where service isn't necessarily our top priority, in trying to service people of the press corps and journalism, I think it's good. Some people are going to have some adjustments that need to be requested. And I think Clint, being a reasonable person, that he's going to hear all sides and try and bring that all in together. So I praise him for what he's trying to do, and the fact that the Office of the Prime Minister is trying to bring greater access to them. And I think, you know, camping out, I've camped out in front of cabinet in the past before, and, you know, it's hot out there. And then you've got to be out on camera and after having camped out there and trying to snatch up a cabinet minister to give their comments, if it could be done in an air-conditioned room, I think that's towards the benefit of everybody.
Yep. Appreciate it, Toby. Let's take another one.
All the best. Take care.
I want just to add to what Toby said, and I think it's so important. Thank you for that, Toby. We've proven, since I've been here for 3 weeks, we've proven that we've not taken away access. Ask the countless reporters who call me every day trying to get a comment on something, and I make it my endeavor best to get their answer back the same day. Ask the reporters who call me because they've not been able to reach cabinet ministers. I've been able to reach those cabinet ministers and get the responses that they've needed. Ask the reporters who, every time on an assignment, the prime minister showed up 2 cents he's been in the office, they've come to me and said, can we get a response from him? I've spoken to the prime minister. He said, yes, I'll address them. Every event he's been on publicly, he has spoken to media afterwards. Ask the comments of reporters when there was an issue by another government agency at the walkthrough at the opening of parliament, who told journalists that they would not be allowed in the House or Senate proceedings. And when they found that out, they called me, and I called the person who said that and said, no, we cannot have the House of Senate proceedings without the media present. They are a stakeholder in House proceedings, and they must be there to give an account and to report on it. And I reversed that decision, and we were able to have reporters and journalists in those rooms and for those proceedings. These are the stories that you won't hear. So we have been fighting to ensure media have access, even when people try to eliminate access, we intervene to ensure they have access. Not one journalist can tell you that they've not been able to get access when they call me for access. Your colleague, Zahaja, when she wanted to get a minister on yesterday, she was able to call me. I was able to tell the minister, listen, this is good. I think you should do this. I was able to set up the link. She was able to get the minister on. So people are excited about the fact that they now have somebody that they can call directly and say, listen, you get this for me. You work this out for me. So I don't have the stress of it. You put this person for me so that I can have them access. And all of them who have so far been involved in the media since for the past 3 weeks, not one of them can tell you that they've had restrictive access.
I want to take one more call. Let's take another call, Ali. Good morning, caller. You're on. Caller, you there? Is the call there?
Yes, let me in.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine. Listen, I like what Clint is doing. Because anywhere you go in the world, and I mean, in our country, we take things so lightly. The prime minister office is a serious place, and plus, that's a serious job to have. The only thing our prime minister cannot do is declare war on no country. But you don't know what all he's dealing with, and you can't have people walking in or even sometimes asking him certain questions on things. He's not at liberty to answer all those things because of the sensitivity of them. And then Bahamians, when we get used to you, they won't come in their underclothes and all. They're like, they jump right out of bed and they come to the thing. They won't come in T-shirt, undershirt. That is the prime minister's office. Anywhere in the world you go, the prime minister's office is respected, and it's supposed to be. So I see why some people are having a problem with that. Because Mr. Davis is such a friendly man on the outside or when he's on the street, that's different. But when you go to that, that is to be respected.
Yeah. Appreciate your call, caller. Clint, we've got about a minute and a half left. I've got one last question for you, and then you can wrap up for me. There are 22 ministers in the cabinet. The prime minister has you at his office. I mean, do you anticipate a backlog in communication if everyone is reaching out to the press secretary?
And this is, I'm glad you said that, because that raises another point. What we are providing is an additional service. It's not the only channel.
Okay.
We've encouraged media houses and reporters, continue calling the ministers as you've been doing. Continue, however you get your story, continue doing that.
Right, because they camp out the prime minister's house in London.
An added opportunity. If you cannot get through, call us. If you prefer us to do it than you doing it, call us.
Okay.
But it's not the only avenue. We will have a team. It's not just me. We have a communications team here. We're going to have more press officers that are in who are going to be responsible for assisting the media. So we're just, it's not a one-man job.
Okay.
There will be a team of us who are able to do this. But this is to be an additional opportunity, not the only avenue. Mm. They're still encouraged to get their interviews the best way they can.
And how do they contact the press officer?
They know to call me. I gave them my number. I'll give it to you again so that people have it in case they want to reach me. My contact is 477-1469, 477-1469, or they can email me at clintwatson@bahamasgov.bs, or they can also email us at opmcommunications@bahamas.gov.bs.
All right. Appreciate you, Clint Watson. Thank you so much for taking the call this morning.
All right. Take care.
All right. So that's Clint Watson, ladies and gentlemen. You all have heard it from the sauce's mouth, because, you know, Bahamians like to say, I hear it from the horse's mouth. Anyway, it's Friday. You know the rules. Do everything in your power not to kill anybody. Greater than that, do even more in your power to make sure nobody don't kill you. And if you do that, I'll see you right back here on Monday. I'm leaving Miller. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. They're your station for fresh news and smart talk. So don't move. They've got the news that happens now.